Oh, hey there, Ghostbuster fans. Welcome to Why We Bust, a weekly show where we look at the Ghostbuster cosplay community across the world and we ask individuals the burning question that's on everybody's mind. Why do you do what you do? This show is powered by Memoriam Development, the Windy City Ghostbusters, and viewers like you. So turn that pack off, shut your trap, and take the night off and enjoy Why We Bust.
There we go. Hello, everyone, the Windy City Ghostbusters. We're excited to present the preeminent show focused on the charitable side of ghostbusting. We're meeting the incredible people from all over the world that dress like khaki-covered exterminators, lugging around 30-pound magic backpacks, all in the name of putting smiles on faces and helping people. We are going to find out what makes them tick, as Dr. Venkman would say, and seeing if they can answer the question, why we bust. I am your host, Patrick Calvert, and joining me, as always, is the central nervous system of the Windy City Ghostbusters, ensuring we're broadcasting loud and clear over Twitch and Facebook and YouTube, as well as all the major podcast apps like Apple, Spotify, and Stitcher. It's James Norman. James, how are you today?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Right as I was starting my intro, one of my earbuds just burst into a loud feedback static noise, which has been happening, unfortunately, a few times lately. So I got thrown there for a quick second, but glad I can still hear you. James, it is a busy, busy day. We're back from our little holiday break with Thanksgiving, and our guest today is from the North Texas Ghostbusters. Chris, how do you pronounce your last name? Is it Uzel or Uzel? How are we doing Uzel. That? Uzel, or is it Uzle? I wasn't quite sure there. Welcome, Ryan Chris.
Puzzle.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us. I know that it was we kind of threw you live right as you were joining here, so I apologize for the whiplash on that front. And, you know, I'm trying my best to ignore it, but he cannot be ignored. It is the incomparable Bob Anderson is joining us as well today, just for a few brief moments, as there is some kind of big news or big happenings in the world of Ghostbusters fundraising going on, and Bob was going to share just a quick overview of what's going on tonight.
Yes, and then I'm going to talk about what I'm doing later tonight too, so you guys can be all aware of what's going on in the Bobverse. Okay, so let's begin with where am I going after Why We Bust. There is a Ghostbusters telethon right now for the New York City Ghostbusters. They do this every year. It's a tradition where they bring different groups on to promote different toy drives from all over the country. And during that, they'll interview the different teams, how the toy drive going, this, that, and another. And then they'll maybe talk about how many toys or what hospital or what charity you're representing for. And all the while, people that are watching can donate to the New York City Ghostbusters because they're putting on the show. They get to collect the money on that, which makes sense. It's their show. But we're all celebrated that night. It's such a cool, unique idea, and I love what they do with it. And I am, as usual, the representative of Windy City Ghostbusters, who will be on there talking about our toy drive, which I'll do a very fast plug because Chris gets to be the star of the show, not me. guys, remember, Windy City Ghostbusters is having a toy drive right now across the Chicagoland area. Norm can post a link to a graphic we have or something here in chat, so you guys can all go and see those if you're local to Chicago. If you're in podcast land, go check your show notes. I'll have the same link in there. If you're interested in going to donate a couple toys or whatever, you could check us out there. We also have a big event going on at Sony Wonderverse on the 15th of December. We're going to be there with the big guy himself, Santa Claus. And we're hanging out for Ghostbusters Christmas brunch. So we're going to be there. That's going to be our big toy drive. And then at the end of that one, there's going to be a group of Ghostbusters going to Raid and Ollie's to go buy some toys for some kids in the hospital. And that just melts my heart.
That's going to be fun.
Yep. And then may I plug one more thing?
I don't know. Can you?
May I plug one more thing?
But we got to take one away from you later. So yeah, go ahead.
That's fine. By the way, hey, Rev, thanks so much for the follow on the Twitchverse. We appreciate that. Avix H. Travis just saying, catching up. And what's up, Big Rick? How you guys doing on the Purple app? Anyway, so what is going on? Because every week I shout this in chat, and every week they ignore me. So now I have a hot mic, and you guys can't ignore me. In case you don't know, my name's Bob from Bob After Dark, as well as the Windy City Ghostbusters. Bob After Dark is my full-time job. I'm a paranormal podcaster / radio talk show host. I talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories. I'm like those guys you see on TV, except I have a sense of humor. You can check my podcast out wherever you guys listen to podcasts at. That's Bob After Dark. And tonight at 8:30, I am going to go be on the Bob After Dark Purple App Twitch channel. That's Bob After Dark Plays. I think Vix is in chat. She can link you guys to the name. That's my Twitch mod. I'm going to be doing some spooky video reaction.
Ooh.
So I'm going to be watching some spooky videos going in blind, and I'm going to react to them live on camera.
That's a lot of fun. And that's going on at 8:30 Central Time tonight.
Yes, 8:30 Central Time, and that's twitch.tv/ Bob After Dark Plays. Chris, you enjoy Why We Bust. You're in really good hands. These guys are going to take really good care of you, and awesome. I look forward to listening to the rest of the episode. And there will be a link in all of the things for the big toy drive donor thing. You can go watch after this, too. Yep. All right, guys. See you guys at 8
over
at the New York City Ghostbuster stream.
Good luck tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, my experience with telethons is that everyone that's makes an appearance has to also do some sort of talent. So that could just be watching old episodes of television or that Seinfeld episode. So I'd be curious to see what talent Bob is going to break out during his 5 minutes on the telethon tonight. But thank you so much, Bob, for joining us and letting us know. Real quick, while the Windy City Ghostbusters are at Wonderverse for the Santa brunch on December 15th, coming up on December 7th, just a mere 5 days away, the Blue Island Christmas Parade will feature the Windy City Ghostbusters, and the toy drive that Windy City is hosting will have a big night at Rocket Pro Wrestling. So bring an unwrapped toy. There's a lot of incentives. There's a giveaway with Steve Michaels merchandise. And come out, bring a toy, get a chance to meet Joe Hendry and all of the stars at Rocket Pro Wrestling on December 7th. All that information you can find at the Windy City Ghostbusters Facebook page. If you go to any of the links that Norm is putting in the chat, you can find that as well. So a lot coming up here. Chris, do you have anything on the horizon you want to make sure that we're plugging? Just
well, this actually we're doing Toys for Tots on the 7th.
Oh, that's right.
So yeah,
busy weekend for all that. Are you going to any specific locations that day, or
we'll be in I can't think of where we're gonna be.
Oh, no worries.
It'll be local North Texas, of course.
And you can go to the North Texas Ghostbusters Facebook page as well if you're looking for more information on that. But if you are in the area, keep it in mind, there is a Toys for Tots event coming up just this upcoming weekend. I can't believe we're already...
Tell me about it.
December. Good Lord. So much going on. And again, Bob thanked... Rev Philip K for their follow and subscribing. Thank you so much. Chris, before we dive into your interview, I've been doing something the past few weeks. As other podcasts, other shows will go into the current Ghostbusters news, I'm trying to do what I can to look back and see what's happened this week in Ghostbusters history. James, Chris, if there's anything in this, week in history that you want to chime in on, feel free. This is an open discussion, but I just want to, it was actually a little bit busier than I expected it to be this week. And I will say, I'm still looking for ways to do a better news search for the 80s and mid 90s. It is a little bit difficult without, you know, one of those LexisNexis subscriptions to dig into the old newspaper archives, but still was able to find quite a bit going on this time of year. And December 2nd, that is today, the day that we are broadcasting live. It's Celeste O'Connor's birthday today. Lucky from the new batch of Ghostbusters here, and she turns 26 years old, December 2nd, 1998.
She does not look 26.
No, but everyone under 30 looks like they're 15 years old to me.
That's
now.
True.
So it's hard for me to guess ages these days. But you know, also announced on December 2nd, 2016, Alice Drummond passed away. She is the librarian from the 1984 Ghostbusters, and not too long ago I saw an interview with her where she was talking about being cast specifically because she's a really good screamer, and I think she does have a very specific yell and scream, and what a way to kick off that movie to have Alice Drummond getting the living daylight scared out of her in the basement of the library. Also a lot going on this week. Back in 2019, Jason Reitman announced that the title of the new Ghostbusters movie was going to be Afterlife. And a few days later, Vanity Fair showed the first kind of pictures and images from the movie, which got, I'm sure, Chris and James, you'll probably remember, you know, finally seeing images of, you know, Paul Rudd holding the ghost trap and Phoebe and podcast people we didn't know the names of, but, you know, walking towards the Shandor mines and that famous, famous in the Ghostbusters world picture of all the main characters kind of around the first day slate. All that kind of was shared out this week back in 2019. And little did we know that it was going to be another 2 years until we saw the movie at that point, as 2020 was not the year we all anticipated it to be. But I remember seeing those and getting, oh man, it was like I almost didn't believe it was happening until I finally saw all of that. And speaking of not believing it was happening, December 6th, 2012, Uncle Dan Aykroyd was all over the news, because what was he talking about possibly happening but a third Ghostbusters movie? It was every few years the rumor mill would start back up. And in 2016, Dan Aykroyd, he gave a quote challenging Sony, saying, "We can't wait forever. And now's the time to tell the picture company, and I'll say this quite publicly, it's time now to sit down and make this movie, or you will lose your main principles and you won't be able to make it without us, because we have rights and now is the time to make the movie. You don't take advantage of that in the next 3 or 4 months. And hey, I'll see you in Australia, where we'll be selling Crystal Head." that was his quote. And you know, and it was prophetic, as you know, we did lose Harold just a couple years later on there, but luckily we are in a much different headspace now than we were in 2012, where we all just kept a hope alive. But you know, I really never thought we'd be at the point that we are today. It's pretty amazing where we are today, and feel very grateful for that. Absolutely. And you know, December 5th, 2022, Gil Keenan was announced as the director of Frozen Empire, which I think got me a little nervous right away. Yeah. I didn't like the idea of a Reitman not being right at the helm, but I don't know. How do you think, Chris? How do you think he did on his first outing there with Frozen Empire?
I think he did really good. I mean, there were some things I felt could have been expanded on, you know. But I mean, I could watch a 6-hour Ghostbuster movie. So I mean,
exactly. And I think everyone watching this or listening to this show probably would be more than happy for a nice, you know, 10 to 15 episode series on Netflix following the group around. But it's tough to flesh out everything you want with such a large cast. And while I don't want to see the originals disappear, I love having them involved. You know, it does leave you susceptible to feeling like the story wasn't as complete as you'd like when you're trying to surface so many different storylines. But I thought, you know, given especially what they had to work with there, it came out much better than I had thought. So great movie. Congratulations, Gil Keenan, for taking the reins on December 5th, 2022. And, you know, from there, let's see here. Oh yeah, we got a bunch of things coming out. So 2023, we saw the debut on December 1st of Dan Aykroyd's The Unbelievable, which was on the History Channel. I saw a few of those episodes there. But also in 1985, Dan Aykroyd had a release this week. Does anyone want to venture a guess as to what movie came out in 1985, a year and a half after Ghostbusters was released?
Dan Aykroyd, 1985.
Great Outdoors?
Oh, close. That's a couple years early for that, but it is Spies Like Us with Chevy Chase.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I thought that was later than 85. Okay.
Well, December 6th, 85, so end of 85. But, that
is a came great out movie.
This week. That is one that has eluded me all these years. It's been on a list of when I get time to watch it, I will, and I've never gotten
the doctor scene.
Yeah, we quote that all the time. Doctor?
Is A, one of the best, but one of the greatest things about it is, a lot of people don't know, is everybody in that scene is a director.
It also starred Dan Aykroyd's real wife.
Correct.
Who also was Sonny in Bosom Buddies, if you go that far back.
There you go. Well, now I've got no choice but to watch that movie as soon as possible. So if you haven't seen it, everyone join me in watching it this week sometime. And that's exciting. Yeah, that's just, and I know the cover. I worked at Blockbuster Video in high school, not to age myself too much, but that was returned to the shelf all the time. So I know the cover of that one, just have not gotten around to seeing it. Also December 6th, 2002, Harold Ramis put out a much anticipated sequel to one of his hit movies. That's Analyze That, starring Billy Crystal and Robert De Niro. And December 7th, 2012, Bill Murray put out Hyde Park on the Hudson, which, if you have not seen it, Bill Murray plays FDR. And it's a great chance to see Bill Murray actually, you know, flexing his acting chops and not hamming it up. So if you haven't seen it and you have a little bit of a, you know, if you're a bit of a history buff, he surprisingly kind of brings you, gets you to kind of forget he's Bill Murray for a little bit and actually does pull off FDR pretty well there. And then December 4th, 2015, Bill Murray also released A Very Murray Christmas on Netflix, his much hyped Christmas special, which my first watch, it was okay. But I've subsequently put it on in the background, and I find it more enjoyable every time I see it. So if you've not watched that one in a while, you know, take a look again, revisit A Very Merry Christmas this holiday season. I see a Hydrate came through in the chat.
Yeah, I was waiting until you were finishing what you were saying. So, yep, Hydrate. So
here we are.
Twitch chat says Hydrate.
Got to follow the rules. Got to follow the Twitch chat. Or Twitch chat, or Twitch chat, whichever works there. But so that is this week in Ghostbusters history. A lot of things coming out for the holiday season, movie wise. It is a popular time to release things as people get ready for their Christmas vacations. And yeah, only one notable death this week, as opposed to, I think we had three the other week. a little much, but a lot going on. And thank you everyone for kind of taking a dive back into Ghostbuster history. And with that, I kind of want to, you know, head over to our main event, and that would be you, Chris, with the North Texas Ghostbusters. And, you know, just to, you know, to dive in, what is your history with Ghostbusters?
With Ghostbusters, I mean, like, you know, grew up watching the movies, of course, you know, and You know, I was born in 81, so I mean, I was 3 when the first one came out, but I saw that, of course, on VHS and all that, and then I saw the second one in theaters, and of course watched
That,
the cartoons, so
do you remember if the cartoon or the movie was your natural introduction?
pretty sure it was the movie, actually, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah,
At least
that's
at least parts of it, you know.
yeah. And so you saw the second movie in the theaters,
Yeah.
and then there we have that long gap.
Oh,
You know,
yeah.
did Ghostbusters stay with you? Did you have to sort of take a little break and find your way back to it?
I mean, it's always been in the back of my head. I've always used quotes from it, you know. So I mean, like, I'm a movie buff, and so I mean, yeah, I've always, you know, it's also great when you can say a quote and somebody can, you know, finish it. You know, like, I've so many times said, oh, well, I blame myself, you know,
So do I.
and yeah, and see, a lot of people will just be like, they'll just look at you and it's like, come on, finish it, don't leave me hanging.
Yes, that's becoming a part of the Windy City Ghostbusters. It's been nice to not have to worry if I drop one of those quotes out there. It will be completed by multiple people. But so what kind of stood out to you? Well, you know, with Ghostbusters, what was it about Ghostbusters as a kid that really hooked you?
Well, I mean, just the special effects, of course, but also, you know, it was pretty much average guys that came together, you know, and did their thing. They saved the city, you know. Nobody would believe them. And I mean, like, that's kind of a lot of 80s movies, especially the ones like Goonies and all that. You have the team that comes together. They know how to solve the problem, but nobody wants to listen to them. You know, so I mean, like, that's always, you know, I've always liked the underdogs, you know, the and you know, great comedy, you know. Good scares.
And there is something too. It's not a superhero movie in the sense that you're right, these are regular people
Yeah.
and just like us, and they have to problem solve and figure it out. And it's similar to, I think, a lot of the appeal of Batman over characters like Superman and things like that. It's this is he could it could be one of us if we just
Yeah.
had the tools and the equipment.
Exactly.
Perfect. And so how did you first hear about the franchises in your area, or what kind of brought you to becoming a Ghostbuster yourself?
Well, I actually founded the North Texas Ghostbusters. So,
That's one way to do
yeah,
it.
there had been a couple of franchises in the area, the Dallas Fort Worth area, but they all kind of just, I guess, disbanded. So, I mean, but it mainly started, I took my truck and I decided to ectofy it. And from there, I, you know, needed a name, and I chose Ghostbusters North Texas because I figured that would pretty much describe, you know,
What you're doing.
exactly. I also went to the University of North Texas, so I borrowed from that. And I figured, you know, it's good piece of area to cover, you know. And so from just having the truck, and I created the page. A buddy of mine, one of my best friends, like a brother to me, we talked about, you know, with the truck and getting the HasLab proton packs and all that, you know, what would be the next step? Well, the next step was actually a convention actually contacted me through the North Texas page on Facebook, asking if we wanted to bring the truck and come. And it was just me and my buddy, you know, and me and my vice president Chester. We just kind of like, do you want to do this? Do you want to go to Paris? You know, it's 2 hours away, road trip. And we went. We didn't know what to expect, but we had a great time. I mean, it was a small local con, and but we just had a great time, and we actually got to go back this year. the second time and, have the bigger group.
Yeah.
So, I
And so
mean,
what, so this was 2022 that, or 2023 that you started
20,
this?
2023 is when we, so technically it started in 2020 is when I did the truck and I actually had the page. 2023 is when we actually started doing cons and getting things together and being seen. So like from Paris, we ended up doing a few other cons. We ended up meeting up two other the founders, Zach Grannon and Rob Sauceda, and we from there we had our four. And that's when we started, doing more stuff. We got, more conventions, and then we had more people wanting to join. There was the Denton Ghostbusters that had asked us if they could be a part of us, and I was like, that like they wanted to be the Denton part of us, and I was like, well, why not just be a part of us? We got the North Texas. And so, Taylor, he joined us and he's the one that's been involved with the Toys for Tots. And so,
Great.
and then from that, it snowballed. We got to do the Fan Expo here in Dallas, which is basically the biggest, Dallas Comic Con. So we got to meet McKenna Grace.
Oh,
So,
that's awesome.
yeah.
So, Chris, what kind of got you to make that leap? Because you're forming your own group. Had you heard of other
Oh yeah. Oh,
Ghostbusters groups? And
I
so you had a
followed.
okay.
Yeah, I mean I followed and I, I had a spirit pack that I modified and all that. And I, I had in my collection, I had some of the Maddie stuff. So I mean in fact most of our mobile museum, if you will, when we go to cons and all that is my
Your
collection.
collection?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. And so you were, yeah, because I think I may have found out, I think through watching, a movie like what, oh, Ghost Heads, out there, that there's, that many, all these groups out there
Yeah.
doing it. And that's, so that's, I'm glad, you were able to make that connection, because it is interesting that you just the leap, how quickly people can leap to the charitable side of making these appearances. Were you guys collecting from the very start? Was it when you met the other group that had the different connections? When did you first kind of become a charitable organization?
I mean, from the start, I mean, it was always something we wanted to be able to give back. It was never something that we wanted to use for our own advantage, because that's not Ghostbusters to us. That's not in the heart. The heart is to give back, and being able to give back to our, the North Texas area means a lot. In fact, we were just able to donate money to the North Texas Food Bank. So that, putting those kind of contributions into, our area, our cities and all that, it just means a lot. And in a way, it's kind of selfish because of the enjoyment that I get from being able to give money, give, collect toys and all that. It's better to give than receive, I guess.
Yeah, it's okay to take pride when you're doing good work as well. And I think it should be noted, especially when you're starting something so recently, and here you are, you're making money and you're doing good in the world. So, congrats to you guys on getting up and running. And you got a lot of territory there in North Texas
Well,
to
and see, that's
cover.
the thing. We've got members like all across North Texas. So when we say we're the North Texas Ghostbusters, we really mean it. We are, I mean, we got members that are, 2 hours away, an hour away, So I mean, we've got the area covered.
How do you divvy up who's going where with such a big territory?
Mainly we just we because we our group is about 30 members, and we're continually bringing in rookies, anybody that wants to, if you want to suit up, you can join us basically. You're welcome to even if you just want to do more cosplay stuff. So we actually have a group chat where we basically announce what's going to be happening and who wants to come. And then from there we figure out the logistics of it.
Great. And so talk to me a little bit about, were you into cosplay at all prior to Ghostbusters, or was this a new type of experience for you
I mean,
suiting
yeah, I
up?
mean, it, I will. I wasn't a cosplayer. No, it was strictly, Ghostbusters for me. I mean, I've been a fan of other movies and all that, but I've never like actively cosplayed. I've gone as Indiana Jones for Halloween, and one of my things is when I do something, I kind of try to do it to the T. So I actually got, a good quality whip. I've got, I got the gas mask bag from,
Oh, really?
yeah. So I mean, I did it the best of my ability to look, not necessarily as screen accurate, but close enough.
I appreciate you saying that, Chris, as I think it's similar folks all seem to sort of find each other over time, and I've noticed I see a lot of folks like you and like me on that front, where I was in Indiana Jones for Halloween one year in sometime in junior high, and I remember my grandmother promised, she goes, "Oh, I have a leather jacket. It's just what you're looking for." And I was like, "Perfect. That's what I need. I have the hat, I've got the whip, I've got everything I need." And it was a red leather jacket. So when I finally got it on Halloween, or the day of my, I think our school's Halloween dance, she shows up, and I don't know if I hid my disappointment well or not, but it was at that point, it was like, well, I'm not even going. I went, but I kind of had that similar mindset of, because I had my book. There was like an Industrial Light and Magic, or a Lucasfilm Archives coffee table book that came out years ago, and I can't remember the name of it, but it had all of the high quality images of the props and the costumes. So I was very aware at all that stuff. So it was, yeah. It's if you're gonna do it, you're gonna feel every inauthentic part
I don't know if
of
that's just
it.
my
But
OCD or if it's just part of who I am. I just kind of, lean into it.
No, I totally understand and think it's a very reasonable. I think that's a very reasonable feeling to have, at least. But and so putting your Ghostbusters gear together, what was that like? Is it a forever work in progress, or how long did it take you to feel like you had what you needed to show up and call yourself a Ghostbuster?
Well, I mean, thankful for Etsy and, other Ghostbuster sites where they gave, great like GB fans, all the information you can get from there. I mean, that stuff,
Invaluable.
exactly. And I mean, like, when it comes to the Ghostbusters, I'm not too worried about screen accuracy because I'm not playing Venkman. I'm not doing, Stance. I'm doing me. And it's like, this is how I would have mine, And so, I mean, some of it, it's not exactly screen accurate. And also, I have a problem when people want screen accuracy, because like we'll joke, in the group, it's like, what scene, which movie, well, because I mean, like there's times where they're wearing foam packs in Ghostbusters. Is that not screen accurate then? It's
I
like you got to pick and choose your battles here. Don't battle me on this
exactly.
one.
And you get into it. I actually was having a converse quick conversation with the Ectotech the other day about screen accuracy, and if you really wanted to go screen accurate, the general public would look at us as if we just really had crummy equipment and a crummy costume with all the worn out threads on the name tape. And the Ectotech was talking about how he really had to hem and haw with the placement of the Ghostbusters 2 logo on the passenger door, as in the movies it's slightly askew, and do they want to put that on there, or will he spend more time having to explain to people that it's the screen accurate way of doing it as opposed to the idealized on there? And so yeah, that's when I started, I told myself I've got to build myself, you know, work my way towards screen accurate as quickly as I can. And quickly it's like, no, that's not needed.
And it's, you know, also very expensive.
it gets expensive.
Hey, yeah. Guys, we got another hydrate.
Oh, do we? Here we go.
Thanks, Trick Chat.
Thank you very much for the hydrate. But yeah, that's you, and it's nice you're explaining the type of Ghostbuster that you want to be. Everybody is a different version. Yeah. I think with me, I'm just wanting to get close to what I, as an 8-year-old, you know, wanted to see and wanted to have.
I mean, like, because, like, if I could, like, you know, show, you know, little Chris, you know, this is what you're going to be able to do in the future. Yes, you know, when you have money, you're going to spend it all on this.
And that this will be available to you.
Exactly.
That was the other thing, is that none of this was available for so long.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, absolutely. It was a, you know, I think I've gotten down a rabbit hole. My wife is going to be glad when I stop with Magnolia Clothier's Ghostbusters flight suits, because I remember being a kid and getting really hung up on, in Ghostbusters 2, the fabric has a different texture than it is in Ghostbusters 1, and I want to have that specific fabric. And so
I mean, if I had the money, I'd buy one of each from the Magnolia line.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's prohibitive. I mean, there's so many other things.
But I definitely want the spirit guide.
Oh gosh, yes, that is so cool. And for all the things, ways that AI is scaring me in every other aspect of the world, to be able to help build that out, I think was pretty cool in certain places. But does anyone in your group have the Tobins? I think we might have one or two people, but I haven't seen it in person yet.
Not yet. I think that'll probably be my Christmas gift to me this year.
Well, you know, Merry Christmas to you. I hope you get it, because that's definitely one of those items that will
well, I mean, always tons of Easter eggs and all that stuff.
It looks so great, and just have that sitting on your desk or sitting on a table at an event. You just got to be careful. Kids love to have sticky fingers. They're always got little bits of lollipops or something, and those pages will.
Oh, that's where having you know, glass cases, plastic cases to put stuff in, you know, displays. That way you don't have to worry about people touching stuff.
Smart. We haven't gotten that far.
That's something I kind of figured out really fast, because we've had stuff kind of go missing, you know, at the blink of an eye. So it's best to have things as secure as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's easy for things to walk away when there's 8 different people trying to get your attention. But well, that's fun. I always like to hear a little bit of how people put their own spin on being a Ghostbuster and what you take with that. And, you know, you mentioned you've got a modified spirit. Do you have a name for your proton pack? That's something we always ask folks on the show.
So technically I have 6 packs I'm working on. I got 2 of the Haslabs. One is named Elvira. one is named Darcy. From, I don't know if y'all watch Shudder, but The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs. Mm-hmm. So Darcy, and then I have a Ben of Kent that's named Scarlet. Then the 2 life-size Haslabs, I don't think I have names for yet. But then I'm also working on a pack of my own design using a little bit of the video game inspiration. And I call that one Miss Deadly Red. So
man, I didn't have a name for mine until somebody asked me for it. So I'm glad you've thought this through.
Oh yeah. I've got name tagged on them on the back.
How was that Ben of Kent build for you?
So I actually, that was actually my first pack. It just took forever to come along, because I actually got somebody in Sweden to build it, because I was looking for people here to build, you know, and I was having a hard time finding somebody, you know, in the States.
Yeah.
And so somebody said, you know, I'll do it. And so, I mean, I paid the money, and I mean, it's heavy, And like it's probably closest to what they actually had in the movies being that heavy, because I mean like I sent real parts, you know, the clippards and the valves, all that. I got the GB1 ribbon
Oh,
from
awesome.
who was it? It's the one
Fincher?
that the one that yeah. Thank you.
Oh,
Yes.
you so you did get the Fincher. Oh,
Yeah,
very cool.
so it's almost like, hey, I do have something that's definitely screen accurate, that right there. So, and but it has the Ninja Tunes video game sounds in it, so it, you know, changes colors and does all the different stuff. So I mean that one, I yeah, that's usually my go-to pack.
Now, are you wearing that on the long days, or is that one staying on the table for display?
Well, since I'm the president, I'd always have to have the pack on. So a lot of times it'll just be sitting there on display, you know. And
the perks of
yes.
being in charge. Yeah, that's one thing. I wore my pack, and it's always the first 30 minutes, don't even think about it.
Yeah.
But by hour two or three, that's where it really
I mean,
starts
sometimes
to
you can like kind of start forgetting about it if you're in the moment. But then all of a sudden, like that whenever you want to sit down and you take that off, all of a sudden you realize like, wow, that's heavy.
I don't want to put that back on.
And like it's funny because whenever I'll ask for help, you know, putting it on, and you know, they'll lift it up and they'll be like, oh my God,
Yeah, if you're
you're
used to
wearing this?
the
And I'm like,
Spirit
Rick,
or an
yeah.
unmodded HasLab, you're in
Exactly.
for a
Because
shock.
it's Rick in the chat says you never wear your proton pack.
Yeah, the Rick, yeah, see Ricky there. He always complains about that. But it's heavy.
I definitely, I still wear mine as much as I can. I rarely take it off, and that might be partially too because I've created a huge sweat stain on the back of my uniform. If I take the pack off, you just see the sweat marks where the straps were, and
Oh
that's
yeah.
just I'll wind up embarrassing myself if I take it off.
Authenticity.
It makes me, yeah, it's hey, it helps weather the suit up.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's fun. And
But
but
that
those
is why I'm
benefits.
working on the modified life size pack. That way, you know, it'll look the part, have the part, and that way it's a little bit lighter, a little bit back friendly. So
Absolutely. Yeah. Those spirits, if you're used to lugging around a heavy one, are gonna feel pretty good.
oh, yeah.
And because yeah, anything of the Benecke stuff, I think he just prints everything so thick it just gets heavy. I have the trap, and that thing's
Yeah.
like 10 pounds when you put between some of the aluminum parts and the
Yeah.
pedal. That weighs your belt down for sure on there. So it's been a couple of years now with your group being really up and running. What has been your favorite experience so far as a public-facing Ghostbuster?
So just recently, we back in October, we got finished doing 31 days of Halloween in Denton, Texas. We got the information back in March. They asked us if we would be willing to work with them, and we're like, yes, of course, this is awesome. You know, this is what we live for. So they ended up giving us part of a shop that had like, you know, it was a glass room kind of thing, and I, you know, because I'd asked for a place for headquarters, one to help keep some of our stuff, but also something we can, you know, set up a display. I'm not sure they were expecting what we had in mind because we had it set up like it's an office. We made it to where it looked like, you know, it was a functional Ghostbusters. You know, we had all the gadgets and gizmos, you know, everything. You know, we had suits hanging, we had packs hanging. We actually had the real Ghostbusters toy pack hanging on the wall along with the Extreme Ghostbusters
Oh, very
pack,
cool.
you know, the toys. So I mean, we had a fearsome flush. We had a containment unit that had one of the hologram fans that had Slimer captured.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
So, I mean, we ended up when they did the surveys of people that attended, it was the Ghostbusters is what they came for.
Nice.
And so, you know, that and just being able to help out the city with, because this was their first endeavor of doing this, and just being a part on the ground floor or something like that, that was a big, you know, monumental thing. Like we went from, you know, two guys in Paris, Texas to, you know, having 18, 20 people running around Denton, Texas as Ghostbusters. And, you know, my brother came with his stepson, and, you know, he had actually been in Denton. He lived in Denton, and he's like walking around with me, and people are like, yeah, Ghostbusters. Like, like I'm walking around with a celebrity over here. And I'm like, well, you kind of are.
Well, I mean, put on a suit.
I've told him he needs to join, but that moment, you know, just being in Denton and having, like, you know, that, and anytime a little kid comes up and gives you a hug, that also just right here hits the heart, you know. And there'll be those times where you'll go down and you'll get a picture, and they'll just hug you and all that. And so
that is, yeah, that's special stuff. And it doesn't get old.
No.
For that. And I know when we have our picture displays, you know, set up, I'm over there as much as I can to be a part of it, is, you know, that's why we're, you know, there's a lot of reasons why we're doing it, but, you know, at the events, you know, seeing those faces, and, you know, it always takes me aback when you get the, are you a real Ghostbuster?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you have to almost train yourself to say yes. yourself.
No, but yes, I am.
Right.
And like, we always ask, like, have you seen a ghost? And they'll be like, well, no. And I'm like, you're welcome.
Yeah. We're doing our job. But, that's always fun. I'm just amazed at how many kids still know the franchise. And
well, I mean, like, it's the parents that keep them, you know. And I think, honestly, having like Finn in the new one from, you know, Stranger Things helped bridge that gap.
Right.
As much as some people deride it, Ghostbusters 2016 also helped bring in new fans, you know. And so, yeah. I mean, like, it's just something that's just classic Americana. I mean, like, it's, and I know some people that, you know, they don't want to show it to their 5-year-old because it is scary. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, there is something about it that is just, you know, it's still watchable after all these years.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I wish, I do at times wish that the old TV edit was more readily available. I think they did put it on one of the big collector packs as a bonus feature. But that would be, I feel like if that was more readily available, even more kids would be, you know, would be watching it if the PG version was available for streaming somewhere too. Just, you know, edit out the Ray dream sequence, you know, in there, and to avoid the awkward explanations.
Yeah. But, and see, that flew over my head as a kid.
As a kid.
You know, yeah. So I mean, like, I didn't know what was going on.
I didn't even have it. I think I've told this on the show before. I had the TV edit recorded on my VHS for all of my childhood into high school. Yeah. So I got the official copy as a gift, I think my freshman year of high school. And it was like watching a brand new movie. There was so much different on the TV edit compared to the real one.
And even on VHS, it was a Blu-ray. So, I mean...
Yeah, it's
thank you.
Wow. If you're listening to this on audio, you should check out the video to watch. You can see my brain trying to catch up to process the joke there. But it's surprising how many kids love it. And you're right, the parents, I wanted to like what my dad liked. My dad liked Monty Python. I worked extra hard to make sure I figured out what the heck was going on at the time. Right. but we see that, and now so many kids are coming in their own jumpsuits too. And
we actually have a cadet program where we've, you know, brought in, you know, we'll let kids join as long as their parents come in. And we've actually had some of the parents end up sitting up along with them. So I
That's
mean,
great.
we've got I don't know how many kids we have in the group. And in fact, some of our members actually were happy they could join because there were some groups in this area before they wouldn't let kids join. And we're at heart, we're family. So I mean, like, to me, like saying like you can't be a Ghostbuster goes against what being a Ghostbuster is about, you know? So, you know, having little kids dress up as Ghostbusters, it also, you know, just lets them live out the fantasy that, you know, we couldn't live out, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Then let them be a part of it. And that's fun. And you're right, not all groups can do that. And some of it too is if you have the manpower to make sure that you can keep an eye on everybody
Oh, we
too.
have the
But
man.
yeah,
We
it
got
sounds like
Ricky. Ricky will keep an eye on everybody. Hey
perfect.
guys,
And I'll go ahead.
we got to hydrate and we've got to stretch.
All right, can we do both at the same time? What are the rules
Yes,
here?
hydrate and
Okay.
stretch is perfectly fine.
All right. There it is. Yeah, my mic didn't pick up all the cracking and creaking. But yeah, a hydrate and stretch.
At it. Awesome.
Very good. And so, you mentioned you're doing Toys for Tots. Are there any other charity groups you're currently working with? Are there areas you're looking to kind of break into and you'd like to get more involved with?
Well, I mean, one of our things is if there's a charity organization, we're willing to work with them. Because I mean, it's about helping bring awareness to whatever charities in need, you know. I mean, so we're definitely down, you know, if anyone wants to contact us. I mean, it's just like we've done cons and you know, we did the Fan Expo, which was like a very big con, but we've also done school library events where it's about reading and stuff like that. And I mean, it's like, you know, to you know, there's nothing's too small for us to be there if we can help out, you know, and that's just part of our nature, you know. It's just like to be able to give back. I mean, that's what our group is about, is if so, if a charity wants us to come, we'll suit up, we'll be there, you know, as best we can. Because I mean, we would love to help out any and every charity that's, you know, in the North Texas area, worldwide, really. I mean, if it's got a good cause, then yeah, we would suit up for it, you know.
Absolutely. And yeah, you don't say no, because even those small gigs are great networking opportunities as well. And Windy
Yeah.
City, we've been around for over 10 years on our side, and we're still doing we'll do a big convention, we'll do birthday parties, and yeah,
Yeah.
we're at those libraries too. And if there's an opportunity to raise money,
Yeah.
go for it.
Raise money
And
or just like help the library, you know, with getting kids to read. You know, I mean, that if getting,
for a
you know,
cause.
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's great. So what does your future look like with the group? Where are you looking to take it? What would you like to see the group look like in, 5 years' time?
I mean, of course, we'd love to have our own Ecto by that time. But I mean, pretty much, not much different. I even if we grow bigger, I still hope we're still, you know, the tight family that we are. I mean, we're all, you know, we're one for all for one kind of thing. I mean, I think really like on our chat group, there's really not a day that goes by that we don't talk. And so I mean, like I hope that never ends. I hope that we always are staying in contact and always just checking in on each other, you know. That plays a big part of it. So I mean, if in 5 years we haven't moved from where we are now, I'm fine with that. If 5 years from now, you know, we're the most requested, you know, Ghostbuster team in Texas, well, that's awesome. You know, but as long as we're still helping out with charities, and just having that kind of connection with people, then I'm fine with that.
Great. And that's a great attitude to take there, and you definitely have the space to keep expanding out there. And if you get a line on an ecto, you let us know on that one, and warn everyone involved what their bank accounts are going to look like after you start those projects. But I'm really proud of Chris, of what you guys have been doing, and all that you've kind of gotten up and running in such a short period of time. It's a lot to go from two guys and a couple of years later having dozens of people offering their time for you.
Well, I mean, like, everyone that's in it, they love doing it. You know, that's a bunch of big kids at heart.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we have. That's what our team is. Mm-hmm. You know, that they can find the time to do it, they'll be there. You know, and it's
that's fantastic, and this is such a wonderful outlet, and it's at the same time as there are more ways that you can find to give back. Also, a lot of the traditional ways to volunteer time have been disappearing. I know, we're in Chicago, and I used to, volunteer at soup kitchens and things along those lines when I could, but everyone that I've volunteered for has lost its funding or, closed up over time, and you just keep trying to find a new one. And so times change, the way people give change. And this is a great way to still be involved in a person-to-person way to make an impact on your community. And I think you guys are doing a great job. You have a very cool logo.
Oh, thank you.
I see back behind you there.
The history of it's actually so it's a mashup of the Dallas Texans, who are now the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm. They played 1 year in the NFL in Texas. And if you look up the symbol, he's holding a football in his where he's got the trap, and where he's got the PKE,
mm-hmm.
it's a pistol. Jacob Bartlett helped me with the design.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Yeah. I gave him the notes, what I wanted it to look like, because I wanted it to have something that was different, that stood out, but also had connections to Texas. So
yeah.
You know, so he helped design that, and that became the logo.
That's really cool. And Jacob does great work. Jacob is with the Circle City Ghostbusters, for anybody not familiar. And you can actually, in our show's history, or you can go to your local podcast app, Bob Anderson has a great interview with him. And you can
he also gave you a lot of pointers.
He also designed our logo.
And he designed the Windy City logo and the Why We Bus logo. Excuse me.
Why We Bus.
And he's everywhere. I believe one of the pillars of the Ghostbusters community. But
absolutely,
that's great and great. And again, another sense of Ghostbusters looking out for the Ghostbusters and looking to make sure that we're expanding. So that's very cool. I didn't know that was the origin of your logo. Wasn't trying to give the Circle City guys a plug there for it, but I wasn't fishing for it, I should say.
Yeah.
Always happy to hear that we all have each other's back. And Chris, we're kind of getting close to the end here. I want to make sure we give you a minute or two. Is there anything coming up here? I know we're on the final weeks of the year, so it's a bit of a things are starting to dry up a little bit here heading into the end of the year. Do you have anything on the horizon? I know you did mention at the beginning of the show you do have a Toys for Tots thing going on.
With my work schedule, things get busy. We actually have a couple people that, the busy schedule this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
So most likely, I think the Toys for Tots will be the last event we have this year, and we're still in the planning phase of getting different cons and conventions down for next year. I mean, hopefully we can, have that, and we're even thinking of doing some special events and all that to where we can, have just bring people out. One of our members, Billy, he's a part of Dart Masters, and he wants to have a Ghostbusters versus Dart Masters tournament. And so we will end up doing something like that, and where the buy-in, you know, will go to the charity, and then the winner will get a prize. But that's something that I think we're going to try for February.
Very cool. Now, I've seen in the chat someone's mentioning that you have a pack build going on for charity.
Oh, yes. We're going to be starting work on a pack build. It'll be we'll start working on it, and we'll have videos of it and tell everyone how to make a pack, and you know, we'll be able to we're going to raffle it off in October of next year. And the proceeds, of course, will go to charity. So
that's great. That's fun. And another way to just do something good while also pleasing somebody's inner 8-year-old to finally get a proton pack there. So that's a lot of fun. So keep an eye out on the North Texas Ghostbusters social media next year, so we can kind of follow along as that build goes forward. But you know, Chris, I can't thank you enough for offering your time to come talk to us today. And
I can't thank you guys enough for letting us, you know, be here and be heard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's exciting to learn, you know, learn why you bust and to get to know you a little bit better and bring your group a little bit more attention as well. So best of luck to you, Chris, in the future. You're always welcome back on the show. If you have something big you'd like to share, just reach out and let us know. And I want to thank everybody for listening, for watching. It's been another great week here on the Why We Bust show. And on behalf of my producer, James, and our director, Bob Anderson, my name is Patrick Calvert. And thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. And before you all get too distracted, head on over to the New York City Ghostbusters and their Toy Drive Telethon, and on you YouTube. Should be seeing on YouTube. So go check that out. You can find links to it in our Windy City Ghostbusters social media and the Why We Bust social media as well. So a lot going on this time of year. Chris, thanks again. James, take care, and good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Why We Bust. See you guys next time when we look at another Ghostbuster and find out what makes them tick.
Memoriam Development. Memoriam Development.